Okay, good morning, everyone. On this, a brand new day that the Lord has made, we give glory and honor to God, our Father, and our King. We give honor to Jesus, our Savior, and our Lord. We give honor to the Holy Spirit, our teacher and our guide, the one who has sealed us until the day of redemption. We give honor to the Word of God, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I am glad to see each one of you on this day here in the Contemporary Bible Class. I think most everyone knows me. I'm Sister Velma Sanders, the teacher of this class. Sister Marsha Hall is with us. She's the life development ministry of all the Sunday school classes at Salem Baptist Church. Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is our pastor. We come in the name of Jesus. His name is above every name. Name above my name, your name, and anybody else's name is the name of Jesus. Today we will be continuing with Luke chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 41 through 48. And as I mentioned several weeks ago, this was going to be at least two parts. This is our third part, the topic being the faithful and unfaithful servant or steward. So this morning is part three. When I sent out the Zoom invitation, I think I put on there that this would be the conclusion. That's what I thought until the Lord gave me something else. So this will probably, next week will probably be our conclusion on this topic and this passage from Luke 12, 41 through 48. So we want to be in step with the Lord. If he says slow down, I have to slow down. If he gives me something else to say, I have to say it because I want to be that faithful steward. We're glad to see Brother and Sister Jordan with us this morning. We have been praying for them. Glad they made it back home safely. And again, we offer our condolences to them. I do not see Sister Sharon and Deacon Young with us this morning. So Sister Cole is probably not with us as well. But if any of you have deaths in your families, and sometimes I don't hear about it, please let me know. I care as your teacher, and I will pray for you and your family. We always know that things are going on in everybody's life. Everybody is going through something, and some seasons are more trying than the others. So we want to keep each other in prayer. We're glad to see Sister Becca with us this morning. She was one of our newest members, if not the newest member, that joined us last week. We hope that she will continue with us. We welcome her. And I see, oh, there's Linda Hill's picture. I don't normally see Linda Hill. Not the video, but there she is. Glad to see you, Sister Hill. Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus, and now we quiet our minds before you, and we just want to say, Lord, here we are. As Samuel said many years ago, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. We ask you to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to us this morning, and then give us a mind to obey. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So today, Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 48 is our passage. I hope you all, you're probably taking notes, but I hope you have a notebook that's dedicated to Luke, to the gospel according to Luke. Okay, so let's begin today by to come up so we're all on the same ground here. We've been in Luke chapter 12 for quite a while. We're seeing in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus had instructions for his disciples because he is on his way to Calvary in a very short period of time, and he must prepare his disciples for his departure. In Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48, Jesus lets us know that even though he was there on earth the first time, that he will be back again. And he admonishes his disciples in Luke chapter 12, in verse, I'm trying to see where it says, be ready. In verse 40, Luke 12, verse 40, Jesus admonishes his disciples to be ready. He wants us to be ready for the second coming of the Lord, or if it's death, or as if it's the rapture, be ready. Just live in a state of readiness, expecting the Lord Jesus Christ at any time. In our passage in Luke 12, verses 41 through 48, it's not only be ready, which is 35 through 40, but this remaining passage is be doing. God has given each one of us a work to do. And for some of us, he has given people that we are to see about in one way or the other. So we'll be continuing on that topic this morning. Let's first of all start out by reading. I will read and encourage you just to follow along. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 41. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Now, our topic is the faithful and the unfaithful servant or steward. In these verses here in verse 42 through 44, we are talking about the faithful steward. Well, actually, in verse 42 is the scenario. Verse 42 said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? So really, that's like a blanket statement, asking the question, who then? Who will do this? And then the Bible comes back with four different scenarios, four different servants, stewards, as it were, four different examples. We have just read about the first servant. He was faithful. He did what the master said. We know that because verse 43 says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So that's the faithful servant. We'll say a lot more about him later. Then we're going to see for the remaining of the passage, beginning in verse 45, that there is the unfaithful servant. But the unfaithful servant is portrayed in three ways, three different examples, three different outcomes, even we could say three different people. Unfaithful servant number one is in verse 45. And that says, if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So that's servant number two. The first unfaithful servant. And we see why he was unfaithful, and we see what his judgment was. Then we go on and we see servant number three, or the second unfaithful servant, verse 47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. So that's servant number three. He is unfaithful as well because he knew what to do and he did not prepare himself. He did not do it. Then we see his judgment. The next servant, servant number four, unfaithful servant number three. He's in verse 48. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. So we see his, the cause of his punishment, the cause of the verdict, his judgment, that he did not know what to do, but he committed things deserving of stripes. And his judgment was to be beaten with few stripes. So we'll be talking on next week, Lord willing, about these unfaithful servants. But for the remainder of our time today, we're going to focus on the faithful servant, because that's what I'm striving to be. And I trust and pray that you are striving to be a faithful servant as well. Now, that faithful servant, we see him once again in verse 42. And like I said, verse 42 is the scenario. You have to set the scene. What's going on? You know, what's the umbrella statement? Well, verse 42 gives us the scenario. Verse 42 says, well, it asks the question, who is the faithful and wise steward, right? So we want to know who's the faithful and wise steward. And then you would give choice number one, choice number two, choice number three, choice number four. And you would say, which one of them was faithful? And we would all say number one. So who then is that faithful and wise steward? Well, we found out on last week, the word steward, or the steward becomes, has a stewardship. And a steward is one who has been entrusted to take care of the things or the people that belong to someone else. So there's the master here in verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? So we see we have this master. The master is going to make someone a ruler. So he's going to delegate authority. This master, now he's the head, and he would represent the Lord. This master is going to make someone a ruler. A ruler of what? A ruler over his household. It's the master's household. It's still God's household, but he's delegating this authority to a servant, to a steward, to make that steward for a season of time the ruler over his household. He didn't give that household to that person for ownership. They are to steward over it. The question, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household? Now, here's what the steward is supposed to do. The steward's job description. Here it is right here. The job description is give them their portion of food in due season. All right. So that's the job description of this ruler or the steward, is to give them their food, their portion of food in due season. All right. And then it comes back, verse 43. Blessed is that servant. And we want to notice the word blessed. That's a good word. We want to be blessed by the Lord. Blessed is that servant. Well, how do you get in the category of being blessed? Well, the answer is right here in 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing. Doing what? Feeding the household like God told him to do, giving the people their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing, so doing, when he comes. Now, keep in mind, we don't know when he's coming back, but we know he's coming. And whenever the master, the Lord, whenever he returns, we want him to find us so doing. So that means when the master returned back to the house or the estate or the palace or whatever it was, when he returned back, he found this servant doing what he was supposed to do. Verse 44, here comes the reward. Now, the judgment is a good judgment. You know, judgment has the word judgment has a negative connotation, but judgment is good if you're on the right side. Judgment clears the innocent. judgment rewards the righteous. And so we see the judgment in verse 44 is, truly I say to you that he, the master, will make him the steward, ruler over all that he has. And so the man who did what God told him to do, he was promoted. He was rewarded. He received more authority. Now, we don't know what all's in store for us in the kingdom when we leave this earth, but it's not going to be, you know, we'll be praising our Savior all the day long, giving glory and honor to God. For ceaseless ages, we'll be praising him. But there's much, much more to heaven and to the kingdom of God. So I want you to, as we go through scripture, get out of your minds that we just going to be, I think some people picture heaven as like a great big family reunion, and we're going to be la-di-da-ing around, and it's like an eternal resting home. Well, it is eternal rest, but there's going to be business going on. There's going to be rulership going on. There's going to be some more judgments going on. I don't know how it all works, but heaven is just not like we're going to sit underneath the shade tree and just sit down and say, praise the Lord. So we see in verse 44 that this man will be rewarded by being made a ruler over all that he has. And we know the Lord Jesus is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so there's going to be king. He is the king, but he will be the King of the Kings. And so there's going to be some rulership going on, even in our Father's kingdom. And so this master, this servant, was faithful to see about what God told him to do. Now, you notice in this passage, it splits off into two. You're either faithful or unfaithful. That's it. There is no gray areas here. It's either you're on one side or the other. Now, this has been how it is all throughout Luke. We don't have time to go through it all, but let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Because when we look at Luke chapter 6, you're going to see it's either one or the other. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have to be on the Lord's side. It's either you're on the Lord's side or you are not. So in Luke 12, it's faithful or unfaithful. But when we go back to Luke chapter 6, we're going to see several ways that it breaks off into two. In Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 20, notice you see there the word blessed. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Verse 21 says blessed, and then another blessed. And then verse 22 says blessed. That's the group we want to be in, is blessed. And it tells us how to be blessed. That's in those verses. But then you go to verse 24. And here's the side of the unfaithful ones. Then it says in verse 24, but woe to you. And then it goes on with these things that are not so good. It says, but woe in verse 24. Woe in verse 25. Another woe. And verse 26 is woe. So we see it's either faithful or unfaithful. You're either on the blessed side or on the woe side. The blessed side or the cursed side. There's only two. Then we go on two sides. Then we go on to verse 43, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. You'll notice the two different things here. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. So there's the two. The tree is either good or the tree is bad. That's it. And then the evidence is in verse 44. You go on down to verse 45. Here it splits into two again. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So you see the two? Blessed, the blessed person, and the one who's pronounced woes upon. the good tree, verse 43, and then the bad tree. Verse 45, the good man, and then the evil man. Then we go on down to verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? See, that fits in with chapter 12. We are to be doing what he says. And if we're not doing what the Lord says, we're walking on dangerous territory. We're walking on dangerous ground. It's a dangerous thing. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. None of us are perfect. We fall short of the glory of God. But we are seeking to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we do fall, we want to confess our sins. And even in our weaknesses, we be praying, Lord God, please strengthen me and please help me. Verse 46, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing what I say? Now we see two more scenarios. It says in verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And you know the story, you've read this. Then we find out the man who built his house on the rock. There was the man who built his house on the rock. He's in verse 48. That rock is Christ Jesus. That rock is the word of God. Verse 49, we see the one who built his house on the earth or on the sand. So all throughout Luke, it's not only in chapter 6, it's all throughout Luke, there's faithful and unfaithful, blessed or woe, cursed, good or bad, rocky ground or sandy soil. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12. And it's all contingent upon what? Hearing the word of God, knowing the word of God, and doing. It's contingent upon doing the word of God. So we don't want to be in Bible study or in the word just to be in the word. We want to be doers of the word. But you need to be in the word to know what it says to do. So here in Luke chapter 12, verse 42, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Now, what is the man supposed to do, the steward? He's supposed to give the people their portion of food in due season. That's it. Now, last night, I was thinking, not last night, usually on Saturday evening, I'm busy getting ready for you all, writing my notes and trying to put things in order. God took me in a totally different direction because I thought we were going to finish this entire passage today. But the Lord said, no, wait a minute. And so we're going to stay the remainder of today just in this verse per se. Is doing what he says, give them their portion of food in due season. Now, we're going to do something this morning I have not done in Sunday school before, and that's we're going to take a poll. And for you all who have your computer, you'll be able to take a poll. It's only one question. It has one, you only have to answer it. There's two selections. Can you all see the poll? If you can see the poll, the question is that I'm asking you, has God called you to be a pastor, a preacher, a prophet, an evangelist, or a teacher of his word? So you answer either yes or no. And you all go ahead and answer. Has God called you to be a pastor, preacher, prophet, evangelist, or teacher of his word? So go ahead and answer that either yes or no. And you know that God has called you. And if he hasn't, don't say he has. And if he has, don't say no. Because everyone is not called to be these things, but some are. And as you've heard it said, some are sent and some just went. So you want to make sure you've been sent to do these things, called, Okay, are we almost done? Okay, I'm gonna give a few more seconds because we have a lot to do in class. We're 54% complete. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and end the polling because of the shortness of our time in class. So I'm ending the polling and I'm going to share the results. Okay, so to share the results, we look at the results and look at that. It's 50-50. Has God called you to be a pastor, preacher, prophet, evangelist, or teacher of his word? Half of you said yes, praise the Lord. Half of you said no. Well, that's a praise the Lord too, because the pastor, preacher, prophet, evangelist, or teacher got to have somebody to talk to. So it's good we got the sufficient number of people to do the work, and then we got a sufficient number of people to hear what the pastor, preacher, prophet, evangelist, and teacher got to say. Isn't that amazing? So that is our poll. Now for the rest of our time here, let me X out of here. Let's look at this. Now those pastor, prophet, preacher, evangelist, teacher, they all have something in common. And the thing they have in common is they all speak. Every one of them speak. They're not cooks, and they speak the word of God. Now, they may cook, but they have not been called by God to be a cook. They have been called by God to speak forth his word. Now, how it's spoken forth varies. God works with people in different ways, different administrations, different ways of carrying out the call. But each one of those people are speakers on behalf of the Lord. All right, that's very important because, you know, if you're a speaker on behalf of the Lord, that is a high calling. That is a holy calling because God has appointed someone on this earth still has to carry forth his word, whether it comes through a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, evangelist, a prophet, however it comes, somebody speaks his word. Now, it's important because look at this passage here. And this is what the Lord was showing me on last night that he wanted me to stay with. I told them, the one, verse 42, that he made master, his master will make ruler over his household. His one duty was to give them their portion of food in due season. Well, upon first glance, and you know God's word is multifaceted. It's multifaceted, many layers to God's word. And someone else could take the same passage called by God, and God give them a whole different way of teaching it or proclaiming it. But this is where how God led me. Now it says, give them their portion of food in due season. So they are, upon first glance, you just might think, oh, this is a parable. And it is. It is a parable. Then you may think, well, that just means feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's where you need to cook. Feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, no doubt it means that as well. Take care of their necessary needs as far as food. Feed them natural, physical food. But on another level, on deeper level, the food for the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, that group, you give them the word of God. That's the food. That is the food that the master makes ruler over his household, is to give those people, give the household, whoever that household may be, feed them the word of God. So that 50% of you, and you know who you are, I don't know who you all are, but you know who you are. That's the one duty that God has assigned you to do. He didn't say for you to cook. Gotta cook. Well, some of us do. Cook. All of us have to eat. Some of us cook and some try to cook. He didn't say sew. He didn't say sing. He didn't say, well, we're singing and praise the Lord. But our main thing, if you're called to these ministries, if you don't get anything else done, you give the people the word of God. That's what God told you to do. So we want to be faithful in doing it. You don't want to take for granted, well, he's not coming today, so I'm going to go on and finish sewing my dress. No, if you've been called to speak forth the word of God in the season, speak forth the word of God. So this master, this ruler, this master who gave the man this stewardship, feed the household, feed them natural food, but feed them the word of God. So this applies to you all who have been called to speak forth the word, but it also applies on another level to all of us, but especially those who have been made rulers, such as, and I'm going to use myself for an example here, and you all, you know how to use your own example, but me, this class here, God has made me, and I can say that with God backing me, I know that I was called to teach, and I know who called me. I can tell you, God called me. I can't tell you the date. It was a process for me. It was a process for me, but I know God called me to teach his word. Know it without a doubt. And he gave me other things he told me to do. But one thing he told me, Velma, one thing he wanted me to do is you read the Bible from cover to cover. You keep reading my word. You saturate yourself in the word of God. Well, that makes sense because the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, they have to have food to give to the others. And the food comes from the master. The food comes from the Lord. So I have to stay in the word so I can have food to give to you. All right. So you all, the 50% called to speak on behalf of the Lord, you've got to go to the Lord to get the food from him. Get the food from him. Now, the way he gives it is in various ways, but you saturate yourself more in the word of God than in commentaries or any other books. Make sure the word of God is your main focus, because that's what he said. Bring forth his word. Feed them my word. Amen. So God called me to teach. And then he told me, then he had to give me somebody to teach. And that's a whole, my first class per se was comprised of one person. Then I had another class per se, another one person. Then God began to add, and then it was three. I can remember the three. And then it grew, and then the branches went out different ways, and the leaves and the fruit. And this morning, here we are in contemporary Bible class. And Velma here, even though she told you that story, that part of my testimony, for the sake of teaching this lesson, Velma is concentrated on the word of God. And most of you could say 99.9% of the time when you were Sister Velma, she's bringing forth the word. Now, she may give you an example here and there, but I don't reference a whole bunch of people. I don't reference a whole bunch of books. Other than the word of God, I don't reference a whole bunch of authors. That doesn't mean that I have not read books. I do. God has placed many others to teach in various ways. But when it comes to ministering to God's people, I'm going to be speaking from the word of God. And that's what you 50% should be doing. Make sure you feed them the master's food. Amen. So we have 20 minutes here. Let's look to several scriptures. Okay, so let's go to Isaiah 55. We're going to start with Isaiah chapter 55. Some of us know this chapter by heart. At least we used to know it, the Bread of Life group. We memorized this and quoted it from memory many times. We may not be able to quote it from memory today, but we did. Isaiah 55. So I'm trying to get there. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. It's the first book of prophecy. Isaiah 55. Okay. Beginning at verse 1. Isaiah 55. Now I want you to notice in all these verses, keep in mind what we're talking about. Feed the master's household. Give them the word of God. 55, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. There's that eat. There's that food. And the person who's proclaiming, that's the job of the pastor and preachers, and all of them are telling people, come, come, buy by faith, buy and eat. Yay. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So you notice on the table, there's meat, there's wine, and there's milk, and it's free. You come eat it, it's free. The price is by faith. You have to have faith and repentance, and repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. You have to have that, but it's a free meal. Come, I'll give you buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And so what is good? That's what the apostle, I didn't have that in my list. That's what the prophet and the pastor and the evangelist and the preacher and the teacher is saying. Eat that which is good. Well, that which is ultimate good is that which comes from the master, God himself. Then let's go over to verse 10. Now I'm skipping some verses because of time. Let's go to verse 10. So verse 10 is a parable. There's a parable here. And it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow, where does it come from? Where does rain come from? And where does snow come from? It comes from heaven. And so what we're supposed to supply must come from God. Verse 10, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower. See, that's part of me. Velma, you stay in the word. I have to stay, reading it for myself. And that helps me. That's that water coming, that I might have seed for the sower. Verse 10, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Now, here's the promise. If you bring forth the word of God, as we've been called to do, the promise is, so shall my, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So that sounds like blessed to me. That's the true ministry. That's true doing what God said, and that will bring about a blessing. And then ultimately, verse 12 says, you shall go out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. That's because we did what the Lord says. Let's go to John, the book of John. John chapter 21. Now keep in mind, we're still talking about what our duty is, especially those who have been called to bring forth the word of God. Give them the word of God. Let's go to John 21. John chapter 21. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 21. Okay, John chapter 21. And let's look at verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. Most of us have heard this passage through the years. This is at the end of the Gospel of John. Jesus is getting ready to leave here. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. There it is right there. That's what he called them, Peter, to do. Peter, the one that confessed that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, that same Peter, Jesus told him, if you love me. And he's saying today to those of you been called to bring forth his word, and it not only applies to you, it applies to others as well, but especially to those with the calling. So Jesus said, feed, feed, feed. Now see, that's what was in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, he was supposed to give them their portion of food in due season. And so Jesus tells Peter, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now you have to put your name there and say, and Jesus is talking to us, and he says, do you love me? And we respond, Peter did. He said to him, yes, Lord. And I said, yes, Lord, for myself. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. That's taking care of that household. Feed my lambs. New King James says, tend my sheep. Now notice that. Feed my lambs. They're my people. These are my people. You all in contemporary Bible class, you are not my people. You're God's people. And I have to be aware that as the teacher, that I am a steward. I am entrusted from 9 o'clock to 9:55. God gives me you. You are not my people. You are God's people. And then that means, well, I got to be careful because these are people of God. They're not mine. He's the master. So he says, feed my lambs. Feed ten my sheep. Verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So it's emphatic three times here. Jesus says, take care of my lambs. New King James, feed them. And then he says, tend to. And then Luke is telling us, give them their portion of food in due season. So feed the people. What you're going to feed them? The word of God. Don't give them a bunch of jokes. Don't give them a bunch of riddles. Don't tickle their flesh. Don't have them laughing. Give them the word of God. All right. Now that comes through the way you may administer it varies, but make sure it's the word. Let's go to how much time we have. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, every scripture I'm going to give you now, you just keep going to the right. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And it reads, And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What's their job assignment? Here it is. For the equipping of the saints, number one. Number two, for the work of the ministry. Number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? Time frame. Verse 13, till or until. Do it until. Till we all come. That's all of us. The ones you'll be speaking to. Do it until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, why do we need to do this? Well, that's in verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And so we who have been called to bring forth the word of God, it's very important that you do it, because there are a lot of false folks out. For every calling that I named, the prophet, the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist. There are false ones. There are many false ones. So we want to make sure we stay with the word of God, because we don't want to enter into false territory. Stick with the book. And then it goes on saying more reasons in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Go on over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see if that's right. That's not right. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now we know 2 Timothy 3:16. We know that the master had told the ruler, the steward, in Luke chapter 12, give them their portion of food in due season. Now, when you think of portions, you think of quantity and you think of type. There's different types, you know, there's peas and there's carrots and there's corn and there's meat. And then there's some you need a little bit and some you need much. Well, here's portions of the word of God. And we're to know what portion to give at what time. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is, stay with the word still, all scripture is by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Now here comes the different portions that are administered. The evangelist, the teacher, all of us have to give different portions of God's word at different times. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, you know, given the basic foundation. And we're living in an age where we're not really hearing the foundations of the faith, but give them the doctrine. That's first. Then reproof, which means if something is being wrong, say it. You are called to tell the folks. Sometimes people need to be called out and correct it. Tend the sheep for doctrine, for reproof, then tell them what to do, for correction, and then tell them how to do it, for instruction in righteousness. What's the reason? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So those are different portions of food. There's all the word is profitable. But sometimes it has to be a word of doctrine. Sometimes it has to be a word of reproof. Sometimes a word of correction. Sometimes a word of instruction. Let's go on down to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. Notice how it starts. Verse 1. I charge you. Now that's for us who have said we've been called to bring forth the word of God in whatever degree. Now, for those who have not that calling to speak forth God's word, don't feel bad. I mean, that's okay. God has many callings. And the ones who are in these callings, we will face a greater judgment because we are the ones that God put over his people. God put me for this season, 9 o'clock to 9:55, over, and you all, I'm saying that, you know, you know my heart, over you to do what I told you to do. So that means, Velma, if I tell you to teach this word and you talking about be faithful, you better teach the word. So that's what I'm trying to do, you all. I'm trying to do what God told me to do. All right. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge you, and that's that calling again, and this charge. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge. He will judge. You know, we talked about all sin, all die, all will be raised, and all will be judged. Who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, exclamation point. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That means there should never be a time when you say, oh, no preaching today. You're supposed to, the word's supposed to come forth in season and out of season. That's what we've been called to do. If nothing else gets done, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Now here comes some more portions of food. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And now here's a reason why. Verse 3, we have 5 minutes. For the time will come, and we're in this time. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In other words, just make me feel good. Just tell me everything's going to be all right. Just tell me it's all going to work out. Just tell me Jesus loves me anyhow. Don't tell me about it costs something to follow Jesus. See, that's just tickle my ears. And that's those itching ears. Verse five says, but you, and that's you 50% out there, you, and that's all of us, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Because the master's going to come back and we're going to have to give an account. Fulfill your ministry. And then Paul goes on. This is Paul talking, even though it's in Timothy. Paul is talking and he says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. He had confidence. When the judge come, he knew, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. So he knew I'm going to be all right because I'm doing what God told me to do. And that should be the mission of all of us. Do what God told you to do. Now, in our last 2 minutes, go to Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel's in the Old Testament. Go back to Ezekiel. He's by Isaiah. He's to the right of Isaiah. He's one of those major prophets. And we're not going to have time to read all of this, but I'm going to ask you to read on your own this week, Ezekiel chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I'm trying to get there after Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 1 is where Ezekiel is called. Ezekiel chapter 2, Ezekiel is commissioned. Ezekiel chapter 2. And he said to me, that's God, son of man, that's Ezekiel, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the spirit, and you can't do anything without the spirit of God. It's the word and the spirit together that works. That's how it started out in Genesis. And the spirit of God moved and God said. So there's the spirit and the word. Verse 2, then the spirit entered me. The Spirit entered me when he spoke to me, set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel. So then it goes on, our time is up. But verse 7 says, you shall speak my words. Verse 7, you shall speak my words. And verse 8 at the end, open your mouth and eat. First of all, the evangelist, the preacher, the pastor, the teacher, the other, we have to eat ourselves. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And then it goes on. Our time is up. It is 9:54. But when you read Ezekiel chapter 3, you'll find out Ezekiel say it. Because if you don't tell him what I told you to say, I'm going to hold you accountable. But if you tell them and they don't do it, you'll be okay. At least you did what I told you to do. And that's the end of our study. It ended on the word do. And that's what we are to be doing. So next week, Lord willing, will be our concluding study in Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 48, where we'll be talking about the unfaithful servant. Blessed God, our Father, we thank you for calling us. And for whatever ministry that you have given us to do, whatever position, whether it's to speak to, for you, to sing for you, for whatever position you have given us to be. Help us to fulfill our ministry by the Spirit of God, that we might hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We ask you to be with us this week. Keep us in your care. We pray for the absent part of us that all is well. We love you and praise you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Praise your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Your name we praise. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Great job.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord.
Thank awesome you, Sister Velma.
We were.
Amen. Thank you so much for the message. Amen. Powerful.
Is that Sister Cole?
Amen.
Yes, that's Amen. Sister Cole.
Praise Hallelujah. The Lord. I love you all.
I love you too.
You are God's sheep. Not Velma's. So I better do you right. Y'all better do me right, too.
I want to be ready. I want to be ready.
God bless you.
Oh, and Sister Velma, this is Sharon Young. And Wendell and I are fine. The computer's not working, but we're on the phone with Miss Sadie.
Good. I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm glad to know that Deacon is with us and Sister Cole.
God yes, bless.
Sister Cole, we offer our condolences to you.
Thank you. Yeah, we received it well.
Praise
Thank you
Lord.
Very much.
Yes, yes.
It helped. It helped. It really helped.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
We were praying for you. God bless everyone. I hope to see you next week. Read Ezekiel 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Mm. God bless.
God
bless.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless.
Bless you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank God. Hmm.